to the ones who don't run with the popular crowd, the ones who get caught reading under their desks, the ones who feel like they never get invited, included, or represented. Get your leathers. We have dragons to ride.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are finally back with the episode you have been waiting for. We're bringing you all of TikTok Book Talk's most popular books and letting you know whether you should take the time to read them. And we have the most requested one recently for you today. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Casey. And today we are reviewing the... That's a drum roll if you couldn't tell. Third book in the Fourth Wing series. We're going to start out with the non-spoiler section, but obviously it's the third book in the series, so there will be spoilers from the first and second book. Rebecca Yarros has come out with Onyx Storm. It has obviously made a huge splash already, as one would expect, and it basically picks up where book two leaves off. So Zayden has become Venon, and they're figuring out what to do with that and if Violet can help him, if they can stop the progression, if they can cure him. And also they're trying to find the Irids and more of Andarna's kind, because they believe that they're the key to defeating the Dark Wielders. That's sort of like the entry to the plot of the book and the big main conflicts that they're targeted on. And they're also doing a bunch of, like, you know, they're trying to work with the Griffin writers and address that whole, like, political rift while also being actively at war with Venon. So
a few things happening.
Yeah, just one or two.
The reviews have been a little controversial on this one. So did you guys find some fun reviews to read?
Yes.
Yeah. The one-star reviews for this book are hilarious. So
funny. They're so funny.
So how many do each of us have? I have three.
I have like six, but I'm not going to read them all. So
I have only one. So I guess I'll get started because I only have one. Okay, this is a one-star review on Goodreads, and it says, "This book feels like someone is trying to describe the color brown to me for 500 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you want to alternate, Casey?
Yeah, sure.
I'll start with a 5-star. It says, "I didn't finish the book. The book finished me."
That was a 5-star?
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay, a 1-star. Onyx Storm felt like a kid lost in a supermarket trying to find their mother.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay.
3 stars. I enjoyed maybe a total of 200 pages, but those 200 pages were 5 stars. Too bad the other 300 were 1 star.
Okay, I actually really relate to that review.
Mm-hmm.
Another 1-star. She is so brave for publishing this.
Oh my god.
This one's kind of long. It's a 0.5 on Fable.
I didn't know you could go that low.
You can do quarters and halves on other apps that aren't Goodreads. This says, "I wish Imogen would wipe my memories too, because what the F was that book? Credit to Rebecca Yarros for being so brave for publishing this shit. I swear the essays I currently write for high school are better than the editing of this monstrosity. Literally nothing important happened that entire 600 pages. The total lack of explanation in the beginning and throwing 20 million pointless characters into the story was absolute worst. Who is Llewellyn? Is it a person? Place? A house? I don't even know. I've come to absolute loathe every single character except for my perfect sugar muffin, Riddick, of course. And there was no part about this book that was enjoyable. I should have known after Iron Flame."
Damn.
Anyway, savage. There were some real funny stuff in there, so that's why I picked it.
Well, yeah. She did get a lot of Riddick in this book.
Sweet sugar muffin, Riddick. I agree.
Yeah, more than all before. Okay, I have 2 more. So one star, Violet and Zayden giving that one couple in line at the amusement park that won't get the fuck off each other.
Yes, I saw that one.
Yep. I was like, yep. And then last one, two stars. The potential is chasing Rebecca Yarros, but she's faster.
Shit.
Oh, wow. They're maybe not as controversial as I said, because the overall Goodreads rating is 4.3 out of 5. The overall Amazon rating is 4.6 out of 5. However, I feel like a lot of people, if they are just in the series, will just give the series a good rating.
Yeah.
And I don't think we are those people.
Not so me.
What was your star rating?
I am one of those people. I gave it 5 stars.
Catherine.
Okay. But it's not a hard 5 stars. Like, I'm very much so could be negotiated down. I just, here's the thing.
We don't negotiate. You believe what you believe.
Right. I believe what I believe. And it was more of the enjoyment of the reading experience than anything else, because I have been having some struggles reading lately. And this book brought me back into reading, where like I picked up 3 books after it and finished those. Like it got me back into reading. So I have to give it some credit that I enjoyed the reading experience thoroughly.
Meanwhile, this one put me in a reading slump.
Yeah.
This was a 3-star for me.
I had
a really hard time reading this book. I love Fourth Wing. I gave Iron Flame 4 stars. I gave Fourth Wing 5 stars.
You gave Iron Flame 5 stars.
Did I?
According to Goodreads.
Okay. Well, you know, I love this series then. I read the other 2 books in like 2 days each. This one took me over 2 weeks. I also had a lot going on in my life. So like, I don't know, wasn't the greatest time to sit down and read, but like normally I'm so excited to pick it up and just blow through it. And I was not this time. And it was super disappointing to me, to not have that feeling, that rush I was looking for. It's 3 stars. It was fine. It's part of the series. I still enjoy the series. I just think it was kind of a repetitive book and not a lot actually happened. And there was literally no character development for anyone. Like, no one grew and changed, except maybe Riddick. Yep. So the bar was set so high, and I don't think this hit the bar. It's giving Crescent City 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'll defend it. It's better than Crescent City 3, though,
well, because yes.
It's not incredibly long.
But that's
like, it's shorter than most of the other books in the series.
These authors who have this such high bar set because they've written these like book talk phenomena can't achieve on their like 2nd and 3rd books the same thing they did on the 1st.
I think that's the unfortunate situation in publishing right now is she was probably given a ridiculous timeline to finish this book.
She wrote another book between the last one and this one.
Yes. And I mean, this came out a year after the last book. Like, that's way too short of a time if you're truly going to be giving your all into a book, into a series. Like, I don't know. Maybe I give her grace because I feel like it feels like a lot like fast fashion. It's fast publishing now.
I'm sorry. I'm cutting no slack. If you're an author, it is your responsibility to make sure the book is good. Like, especially if you're Rebecca Yarros, if you can't finish it in a year, they'll wait. Like, it's going to make a fuck ton of money. Yeah. Like, authors like Rebecca Yarros are the only authors that have any power in the publishing industry. And so she could have waited if she wanted to.
You're right.
Yeah. I also gave the book 3 stars. I thought it was a mess. I thought it was a messy mess. I thought it could have been 300 pages shorter, and I think it's only like 500 pages, so that's like the majority of the book I thought was sort of like not needed,
superfluous.
And I found it super repetitive. I actually hated the characters. I thought she made them so annoying. Like, I spent most of this book being actively bothered and annoyed. And I thought the world building was super disappointing. Like, this was the book where we were supposed to get more of the world. And I felt confused for most of it, and also just like not excited and interested. Like I didn't feel intrigued and like pulled into the drama. The only reason this book is 3 stars is because I loved the ending, and I think she ended on a really interesting note. But it was like, I felt like I read 700 pages to get to 50 interesting pages, which I think is not how you should feel. So yeah, that was my, I'm very, I don't know. I did not have a good time. It took me 3 weeks to read the book.
If you notice, we didn't have an episode last week. It's because we weren't done with the book, guys. It took us a while.
Yeah.
Well, let's just get into our basic questions. Was this more plot or character driven?
It's definitely plot because they're racing a clock.
Well, and like I said, there was no character development in this.
Yeah.
Book. Everyone like, actually, was the same as they were last book.
Actually, yep. A shocking lack of character development, considering yes. One of the main characters is like basically has a terminal illness that turns him evil. Like, one would think.
Why have we never described it that way?
That's a perfect way to describe it.
And yet they just carry on. It's insane. It's yeah. Insane.
He just becomes a little broodier and that's
over it. Over and over. You can't love me. I'm turning evil. But I can't love anybody else. I trust you. And that's the whole book.
Yeah. And that's the whole first half.
Catherine's laughing. We got her.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're 100% correct.
Okay. Well, obviously we've all read the first two books in the series. Have you read any other Rebecca Yarros books / are you continuing with the series in like 2 years when the next book comes out?
I mean, yes, I'm continuing with the series because I think it ended well. I think you guys can both agree it ended very interestingly.
Yes. Yeah. There were like two high points in the book that had me so intrigued, and the ending was one of them. So I also will keep reading. But my God, lady, take your time.
I'm really hoping now that I won't spoil it, but what happened at the end is going to force things to progress differently than the previous two books, because it's going to be focused on other things than what this book was focused on.
This book was focused on flying around doing nothing.
Yeah. And the flying around doesn't even start
till from here.
Yeah. The flying around doesn't even start till the 50% mark.
Yeah. You're right. That's about that. Yes.
Crazy that a book about the search for dragons, and then the search doesn't begin until 50%. Like, girl, sorry, pacing atrocious.
If we're talking what we're excited for, I'm excited for the How to Train Your Dragon live action movie. That will be more interesting than this. Catherine's dying.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about pacing, how was the pacing? How long did it take you to read? It took me 2 days to read, so a very different experience than you two. I literally took my weekend, sat down, 2 sittings, finished it.
Like I said, I was having a lot going on. I was also trying to read Intermezzo, which we all know I DNF'd. I was reading like no books for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was in a reading slump. This was not helping because the beginning of it is so freaking slow. And it's repetitive, so it's like slow, slow, something really interesting, slow, slow, something really interesting. And it's like, I don't know, I had a hard time with the momentum. This took me over 2 weeks to read. I normally blow through this series, these kinds of books, and I don't know, this time it did not get me.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but it took me 3 weeks to read. Granted, the first 50% is what took 2 full weeks.
like literally same though.
It was so boring. And the last 50%, I think 50 to 75% took me like 5 days. And then the last part of the book, I like slammed through. Like we finally got to like interesting stuff.
I'm not saying the first half was bad. It was just boring.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it's bad.
My 3 probably leans a little more heavily to like a 3.5 than Casey's does.
Yeah, mine leans towards a 2.5. it's, I just, I think the publishing world is high off of the money that TikTok famous books bring. And I think that they have gotten very negligent with the quality. And I actually think Rebecca Yarros has great ideas. I think this book has a lot of potential. That's why I like really loved the last review that I read. But it's like, look, some authors have great ideas, but they're not great writers. That's personally how I feel about Rebecca Yarros. But like, that's what editors do, is they help you get there. And this book, like, they left her or she did not want to hear it. Like,
here's something else I saw. I was like, this just feels different reading it. And yeah. Someone pointed out, this one is written way more like a screenplay. It's showing me, not telling me until like, it shows. And it's like, oh, here's what you're supposed to get from that. This was written like it's going to be its TV adaptation, which we all know is like going forward anyway with the first book at least. But I was like, I feel like it sort of changed writing style. So I read halfway through a series.
I noticed that too. And I actually saw a lot of 1-star reviews that said this was written by ChatGPT.
And yes, I saw that too.
I could almost believe it. It feels like it doesn't feel the same.
Okay, well, like I just said, the first book at least is being adapted for TV. Was it Amazon? I think it's Amazon.
I think it is Amazon, yeah.
Are you going to watch the TV series about the Empyrean in general?
Yeah, I think I will.
I won't, just because I think it's going to end up becoming a teen movie. And honestly, I don't
know. Amazon, there's a little more freedom to have the dirty stuff in there.
That's true. I'm sure it'll be very kinky. I just know that everyone is going to be so like hot and bad at acting. Like, it's going to be like a porn. You know, or like what they did to Overlander, right? Where everyone's
sexy. Outlander?
Outlander, whatever. And I don't know.
It's going to be like Twilight, your new favorite movies.
Yeah.
I don't love it at all.
I'll watch it purely for curiosity, though it might be like Shadow and Bone where I just never finish it because I didn't like how they did it.
It's fair. Who knows? I don't have high expectations, but I'm going to watch it.
Why can't we just give anything with dragons to HBO? Come on, guys.
Because they're too busy with their House of the Dragon and 3 different Targaryen spinoffs.
Can you imagine Taryn animated like one of the freaking House of the Dragons dragons? That'd be epic.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Who wants Catherine, go first for busy girl rating.
Okay. I mean, it's not a 5. I'm totally like, recognize this is not a busy girl 5. It's still a long ass book for a fantasy series, and yes, the pacing is kind of atrocious at times, so I'm gonna give it a 3, because I think if you're in the series, if you're at book 3 and you got through Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, you're gonna finish this book. It's just how long will it take you? I think it's hard to DNF a series when you're already 2 books in because you're already invested and need to know what happens next.
Serpent so, Wings at Night.
But that was a duology. We finished the series.
The series within the series.
Yeah. I know, but like that was a duology. That story has not continued. So, okay. But I'm going to give it 3 stars for busy girl writing.
I agree with you for pretty much everything you said. If you're this far in the series, you're going to finish it probably. Though there are people who did not, but they're in the minority for sure. It's not the best pacing, but it also isn't like really hard writing to read. And I still really like the end and stuff. So I agree with the 3.
I knew I would be the outlier when it came to this question. I would have DNF'd this book. Without the podcast, there's literally no way I would have gotten through the first 50% of
this
book.
The minority I talked about.
Yes, which is just typical. I like, that's who I speak for when it comes to the fantasy novels, is the minority.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and honestly, I am willing to read the next book because the ending of this one did intrigue me. But if it wasn't for you guys, you know, like I read these books socially to like talk about them with you. If I didn't have that, there's literally no way I would pick up the next book.
You read them for us?
I do.
Aw, friend.
Yeah, but there's a limit to my love, and it's called Allie Hazelwood.
guys, let us know if you want us to do Deep End.
I'm not doing it.
I swear, Deep End has gotten way more press than Oxstore.
Yeah.
Really has. Also, hold on. This is so off topic, but my sister finished Bride last night. And she texted me, am I weird if I loved every second of that book? But anyway, so
that's so funny.
We got my sister with Allie Hazelwood. So
nice.
Okay, so what was, is it zero or one from you?
I'm not gonna give it that low.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it a two though.
So you said you had DNF, so I was guessing it was gonna be low.
No, I'm not gonna do, the reason I'm doing a two and not lower is that like the book does pick up, and so like I don't think it's a good busy girl's book, which is why I think it has to be lower than a three. But like it's not like, I think I agree with the premise that like if you're interested in the series, this book is probably not enough to like kill your desire to finish it. So like I do still think like, you know, it's, if you like it, you'll finish it and then you'll probably read the next one.
Okay. Well, we are going to dip into our spoiler alert section. Obviously, if you hadn't read the first two books, you probably shouldn't be here to begin with at this point. But now, if you haven't finished the third book, this is where you stop. Also, stay tuned for our follow-up episode where we'll come at you with not just the book discussion, but the really unhinged theories of where we're going after this book. So yeah, let's dive in. This is a loaded question, Catherine. Maybe not to you, but to me and Casey. What did you think of where the book starts off with Violet trying to protect Zayden's secret? And what did you think of Violet in this book?
Dude.
Casey?
I knew it was going to be a loaded question. Mm-hmm. That's why I gave it to you guys.
Guys, I hate Violet in this book.
Violet
doesn't grow or change, and she has a one-track mind. And she's just like, Zayden. Yes. I'm like, you could save the world. And she's like, but Zayden.
Yeah, I like, Violet is a whipped-ass woman in this book. And I will say,
at the end, she does finally grow some balls and follows Brennan's orders, yes, and stands her ground instead of chasing after Zayden. I'm like, finally!
Yes.
And that was more of an appreciation, mm-hmm, with Eric and his signet and finding out that he's a precog and he can tell the future. And I thought that was very interesting where people are saying like in the higher ups that disobeying orders like you constantly do is only going to get people killed. That is your pattern, is you always disobey orders. So if you continue to do this, you're going to get killed and you're going to get everyone you love killed. And I was like, thank you. Someone said to her like, girl, follow, yes, orders. Like, you need a plan when you do these
and
things.
And she finally did at the end, which was the only character growth she had the whole, yes, book.
That, like, nugget was what I had been waiting for in this book, yes, the entire book. Because, I'm sorry, it's so unrealistic, the extent to which their squad, like, flagrantly disobeys orders. And also, like, it was so annoying for me reading them, like, this, like, bleeding heart syndrome that they have. I was like, I understand that, like, this war is deeply impactful and personal to y'all, but, like, toughen the fuck up. We're at war, bitch. Like, you can't just, like, put yourself in danger and go against orders constantly. And it's just, like, constantly, yeah, doing.
Violet's really bad at the trolley car problem.
Yes.
Yes. Like, actively just, like, constantly and never seeing the bigger picture. Like, no. It was just so annoying. And so that character development, like, saved the series for me because I was like, I cannot continue to read this, like, wildly unrealistic depiction of what war is like and, like, the choices you have to make.
And I also appreciated Riddick, who basically told her, like, so you kept this secret from us that Zayden is Venon. You kept this from your squad, who are your, like, best friends. And the only people you told are Zayden's friends, who are going to protect Zayden. They're not going to protect, yes, you.
Right.
And he basically said to her, like, why aren't you telling us these things? We aren't going to snitch on you. Like, we are your friends, but we will protect you first and foremost. Like, she has this martyr problem.
The hero of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. It's so true. And that was like a moment of honesty that really needed to happen. Mm-hmm. So part of why I hate Violet in this book is the relationship between her and Zayden has gotten so bad and toxic. Like, it's so
extremely
awful.
Toxic.
When you find yourself keeping secrets on behalf of your partner, that's when you need to like wake up and
not
reevaluate.
Like small secrets, like world altering secrets,
big like betrayal level secrets. Like, you need to.
And I understand keeping a secret from like Atos and Bagsyeth, yes, in general, but not keeping it from the realm he rules and from the people who want that realm to stay intact and who are your allies, that is not giving them the information they need in order to succeed, because they
keeping
think that she's going
Mira too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They think she's going off like willy nilly to just go like island hop to find this dragon. But there's so much more to it where she's trying to find a cure for venomism. And I'm like, if you told people, people could be looking into this more that you don't have access to.
And she, like, her and Zayden are so aggressively, toxically codependent. Like, his jealousy and just, like, absolutely insane behavior towards her, I was like, this is quite frankly unacceptable. Like, I feel very strongly that the relationship veers into abuse in this book. And the way she treats it is just like, I'm still going to let him fuck me, even though he's telling me repeatedly he might accidentally kill me.
Yes.
I was like,
it was uncomfortable.
Girl, it's just like, and the sex had, the tension was flat. Like, the sex was awful. I felt like I couldn't even like feel their connection anymore. No. Like,
I was like, actually, please don't do this.
Yeah. Like, I was like, this is kind of ick. In fact, this is sort of ick. And so I think ultimately that's sort of the point. It just felt like that took a long time to get to the development that we were waiting for, right? And like, Violet did a lot of things that I think, you know, were not, like, she's not healthy. She's not healthy in this book. She makes bad choices, and it's really hard to read.
Yep. What about, so we get a lot of just back and forth between Violet and Zayden, and the other thing we get a ton of in this book is the politics. What do you think about the politics? And also I'll throw in the gods, because they sort of play into the politics in this book in the islands, which actually I think was more interesting.
I did too. I always love mythology and god lore and stuff like that. And I do think at the ending of this book, you get a very interesting thought about how the gods are manipulating how this war could go, who is dedicated to them. And you learn more about like Violet's, why her hair is the way it is and what her father was doing before he died and in his young adulthood. And I think that's the more interesting parts of this book, as I was more interested to learn about her father and the gods and how the continent came to be and how the islands came to be. And so I actually liked the island hopping because it did expand the world. And I did like learning more about that side of the world. I don't think it was as well fleshed out as it could have been, though.
So I agree. The thing I should have said in the last question is also feeds into this question, but it's that Violet is dumb. Like, I actually just don't think that Violet's smart. Like, she's supposed to be a genius and she is like actually like literally dumb. The smartest person in this book is Eric. Like,
yes,
he's actually who should have been the main character, which is crazy.
Mastermind.
Yeah, because I never want the main character of a book to be a man. And I'm like, actually, also, her wielding is so bad. I don't understand still why she's considered so powerful. Like, I'm like, I'm like, oh, God. But this feeds into the politics, because I was actually quite disappointed with like the maneuvering in the politics. Like, I feel like part of what was so frustrating for me in reading this book that I also felt was so unrealistic was they would just walk into a room, like her and Zayden, and be like, well, we're not going to do it that way. Like, nothing about what they did was like sophisticated or planned out or cunning. They're just always like, well, we have the dragons, so get fucked. And it was just like, okay, like, I'm sorry, this is not how politics works. And also, if this was like a realistic book, they would just kill you. Like,
the most interesting political
like action point was on Deverelli with King Cortland when he like stabbed Haldun in the hand and beheaded his
servant,
and it caused Zayden to like flap the panthers. That one was so good.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like the others were interesting, just learning what the other islands did, but it felt very like off topic. Yeah. Like it was interesting, but off topic.
Right. Because I think it's like a quest book is what this book is trying to be.
Quest Squad.
Quest Squad, which I loved. And I loved getting more information on Violet's dad. For me, that was the highlight of the world building. But the actual like point of the island hopping, I felt could have been made a lot more interesting. Most of the stops that they made ended up being totally like pointless. And I think very off topic, like I very much agree with that comment. And I think the best quest books are the ones where every island you learn something small. Like every island helps you get a tiny piece of the puzzle together, because they end up finding the Irids, but actually the Irids found
by accident.
By total accident. And I was like, okay, so
I feel like there were tiny valuable pieces at each stop, but not enough to be like not worth as much time as we spent on it. However, it was more interesting than what they were doing before they went on the quest. So
exactly. Because again, like so this was the same problem I had with Prior of the Orange Tree. And I had the same problem with this book as well, which it felt like everything was a little too snap your fingers, make it happen. Like they would just get an audience with the king and then they would either get what they want or not. And it wasn't like complicated. They didn't have to like dig in anywhere or like, and that's part of what was frustrating to me about the world building is I felt like I still didn't fully get it. Like I didn't fully get the worlds. I didn't fully get the islands and their relationships with each other. I didn't totally get like their rulers. Like the island for me that had the strongest identity was the, it was like basically the Eurydite culture. I forget what the actual name
of the one with his mom on it.
Yeah. Which also I felt should have been like way more climactic. I just didn't feel like they were really like getting into the dirt and the weeds and like having to like make shit happen. It felt like things were just occurring.
Yeah. I thought the most interesting island outside of Deverelli where Haldun got stabbed was the one where they got the gifts from the crazy people.
And that was interesting. That was an interesting scene.
Those are for sure coming back to play a role.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least they better be, or else it was pointless.
Right. The compass, the empty box, the broccoli. Sword. And I love broccoli. Broccoli's the best character.
Well, let's go back to... We kind of have been talking about Quest Squad and the islands, which is like the middle chunk of the book. And so what did you expect Zayden's mom to show up in this book? I did. And I looked back on our Onyx Storm episode that was like, does Zayden's mom come back in? Not Onyx Storm. Our Iron Flame episode, we wrote like, does Zayden's mom come into play later? This is not how I thought she'd come into play. But also like Violet's dad became part. So like both their other parents that we don't really know kind of popped in and we learned more about him on this island adventure.
Yeah. So the reason I loved learning more about Zayden's dad is A, it does make their family dynamics just make way more sense. But also he was super important to the plot and his journals actually drive the plot. So like that was an introduction to the book that was very meaningful. I hated the introduction of Zayden's mom because it just like we just met her and then it was over. Like meeting her didn't change the story in any way.
Well, and because Zayden had no emotions because of his whole Venom thing, we didn't get the complex character building that should have come from him seeing his mom with a new family.
Right.
Yeah, he couldn't truly feel it.
Meeting your mom who abandoned you and you've corrupted your soul. Like being reunited with someone you have this complicated relationship with and you are like an evil being now. Like, come on.
he like sat in the corner and was sad about it for a little bit, but I feel like we could have got a lot more from that.
It just didn't feel meaningful to me.
Do you feel?
I also like the island with the Dune temple, because you did learn about Dune and the dedications to the god.
So that's where I was going. Do you feel like they kind of give off the vibe that maybe Violet's dad was a little shady?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, he kind of seems not so good anymore.
Well, we don't really know his reasoning of why he dedicated his daughter to Dune.
And why was he traveling the islands if he was supposed to be a scribe?
Well, he seemed to be writing like a compendium on the islands, essentially.
Yeah, but he never published it. He only gave it to Violet. So, like, what did they think? What did the higher-ups think he was doing all this time?
Yeah, that's a good question. And also, why did they stop talking to the grandmother of the kids? Obviously, there was a huge falling out after Violet was dedicated to Dune. So they must have done something that seemed horrible to her.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was over the dedication.
I think so, because it was like outlawed, not required anymore, I guess, to dedicate your kid to a god.
Yeah.
So now it was like, I got the vibe it was frowned upon now, but also there's plenty of people who still believe in the gods. I feel like we had heard you could like go to the temple when you went into that town, but otherwise we hadn't got that so many people were still very dedicated to the gods until this book. So it felt kind of like a learning curve.
It did. I felt surprised and I did like it. But again, I felt like I was missing backstory that was important. Because she doesn't really build out how religion works or how gods interfere. But I was going to say something and now I can't even remember what I was going to say. Oh, it was on Violet's dad. My interpretation of it was that he was basically... It made me think that him and Violet's mom actually knew a lot more or had more ideas about the Venon coming back and how it would go. And like the fact that their children would probably play a vital role in saving their society.
Yeah.
And so to me, it read that Violet's dad was like using Violet. And that's what the grandma didn't like, because he was going to like dedicate her to like set her on this like path with Dune to like fight or whatever.
There's also the side thing of that her mom was really sick when she had Violet. So there might have been other motivating factors to get her dedicated to a goddess, because then it could protect her, because she might have been ill or dying. But here's
the other thing too. As he addresses her in the journals, he thinks she's a scribe.
Yeah.
So why were you dedicating your future scribe baby to the goddess of war?
Great question. We don't know.
Great question. But it made me think that they were planning for the Venon years before, right? They were planning for Bastiath to fall like years before, or like thought that Bastiath might fall, and that like this lost knowledge needed to be documented somewhere, right?
He knew someone was hiding something.
Yeah.
So he knew more than he was letting on. I just like am very confused how his research on the history of like relations between the continent and the islands plays into why he's dedicating his daughter to the goddess of war. So.
Yes, me as well. Okay.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, speaking of, because you kind of guessed that Zayden's mom is going to come into play. I guess that Halden was going to be Violet's ex-boyfriend, and I was right, and I felt very vindicated by that.
So Halden is another character that I was just like, why is he here? Because he gets stabbed and then he's just gone.
He's a jealousy porn.
Yeah,
the people on TikTok are so funny. They're like, I can't stop imagining Halden in a basket with the eagle carrying him.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, there's the AI of it, and it's so
funny. That scene was hilarious. That scene did make me laugh, I will say.
So
I like that Eric now has like come out and that he's officially saying, I am royalty.
He's a part of it now, for sure. Okay, so we now know Violet's second signet, dreamwalking. I don't think any of us guessed this.
No.
Okay. I looked back at the notes from our Unhinged episode of Iron Flame, And I had a question that said, what is Violet's second signet? And we talked about it. And one of the notes said, can she tell the future because of the dreams? So we had both parts. They were just wrong.
Yeah, we hadn't married it.
Because we said truth-telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, maybe she's dreaming the future. No, she's dreamwalking and Eric's telling the future.
Yes.
So we were like in the realm.
It's an intrinsic thing.
Yeah. We were definitely, I mean, it had to have been something future thoughts related, right?
The Irid say you've given her something much worse than like the lightning. So I'm like, where are we going with this? Can she kill people in their dreams?
I thought the reveal was super anticlimactic.
Yes, thank
I was like,
you.
Sorry, that's lame as fuck.
I think that is super anticlimactic at the moment. But I've heard from like Rebecca Yarrow's snippets of like when she's talking in forums that we've only seen 10% of her dreamwalking power, and that she only one person on the continent can train her, and I'm guessing it's Berwyn, who's the Venon who also can control dreams. And
is he just in there because he's connected to Zayden as his?
I mean, that could be true. But think about it. Like, there's always those old wives tales that like if you fall in your dream and you hit the ground, you die. So the idea that she could maybe kill a person in their dreams or make them go insane.
Or learn. I'm thinking like learn special info. But like, also, does she have to just like pop some melatonin and go take a nap to use her power? Like, what the heck?
Dude, I thought it was dumb. I was like, this is just like the second act in Violet being a disappointing hero.
I'm skeptical. Hopefully it has some big awesome use in the next book.
Yeah.
We knew someone was telling the future though.
And it was Eric.
Eric. I knew it as soon as he was just like, the Dune Temple's important. I'm like, dude, you obviously can tell the future.
Yeah. Picked it out so fast. Also epic. I knew he was going to have some epic signet, and that's why it hadn't manifested. And I'm so happy with what it was. And that it's not like Melgren's where he can only see battle outcomes. He's like a true future teller.
Yeah, true precog.
I figured that he had manifested and he was hiding it, meant it was something, you know.
Oh, yes.
Intrinsic, yeah.
Badass. But also now it's like, okay, why were you, Eric, keeping all this info from everybody? So
it also brings into question whether or not he knew Zayden was Venon much, much sooner.
Right.
Than
what did
else?
He know? How long has he been keeping stuff from people? Can we trust him?
Well, but that's actually why I was partly pissed off at Violet, because it was obvious that something was going on with him. And I was like, babe, follow up. Like, this
is your childhood friend. Why don't you like ask him what's wrong?
Let's have a chat.
Whatever. And he probably knew Halden was going to be crazy, and that's why he decided to go on the mission instead. So start asking questions why he suddenly showed up.
Right. And why he can speak all these languages and never said anything. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Let's also talk about the Irids are assholes.
Yes.
Yeah. The Irids suck. We're peace, love hippies, but we're not going to help you, even though the entire continent might be drained of all life.
They're really cool, but they're assholes.
Yes. Very cool assholes. So Andarna's choice to break the bond.
Heartbreaking.
Super surprised me. Yes.
Okay, but the choice was you can come back later. So that gave it less.
It did. It was semi a cop out. Also, I'm sorry, Mira should have died.
Okay.
But
yes.
Yeah.
To stay on topic, on task. It was heartbreaking. Where this part in the book is where I started getting interested. I was like, cluing into the plot like right about now and like finally being like invested, which I think we're at like 75% of the way through the book, but this is the point where I felt like things were now happening, and
except
it was crushing.
They didn't know the answer to how to fix the Venon, and the one just magically showed up to fire the Wardstone when they needed it. So I was like, what is the purpose of them? Now I'm annoyed they just made Andarna feel like shit, and
yeah,
I don't know what their purpose is. So,
and also just total convenience.
And they're apparently like pure magic. So like, what does that mean? I don't know.
That they can break bonds.
I was like,
and talk to anybody. Yeah.
I feel like we should be like focusing in on this a little more. Like the fact like no one seems to ponder what it means that they're like magic incarnate.
So like, what is their purpose? If they're not going to tell you how to defeat the Venom and the One, just fix their ward. So like, why do we care anymore?
Yeah. It's a good point. I'm not sure we do.
Except for Andarna's sake. Sweet baby Andarna needs to know about herself.
I appreciated her teenage sass throughout this book of like, oh, I want to eat this. And Taryn's like, no.
Honestly, the only time I really felt something was when they left her on the island and I was sad for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Andarna was like the only creature I was like emotionally attached to in the story. I was
and
like,
broccoli.
Yeah. And broccoli.
We don't know where broccoli.
What happens to broccoli?
I don't know, but there are some really cute merch popping up with him on it with like flight goggles and it says Quest Squad.
Yeah, it's so adorable.
Cute. So cute. Like,
I don't need it. I don't, but it's real cute.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we're at the big bads. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce this name.
Theophany. Yeah.
Theophany. I'm sorry. Whack name. Where did that come from?
Where did Berwyn come from?
Yeah, Berwyn. Who are sort of the big bad Venons. What did you think of them? And what did you think of the Venon in general in the book?
I mean, I did like Theophany in the sense that she seemed super powerful. And she also seemed to be more, like, interesting compared to the other Venon. Like, she had more plans and more control over herself.
More independence.
More independence. And I like a female big bad. So that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
The best reveal in the book was when she was like, I'm not the answer to you. I'm the answer to your mother. And I was like, oh, snap. And she mentioned that Violet's mother knew she was no match for her. So I'm like, General Sorengale knew this lady. There's some history here.
Her parents were shady.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was an ex priestess is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. It adds to the dune of it all.
Yes. And she was killed with a rock from the temple. Thank you, Eric. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. The only person who apparently knows anything about anything is Eric.
Is she dead? If the body doesn't burn, I don't trust they're dead.
I feel like she's dead.
I don't know, man. Jack didn't burn.
Yeah, I knew Berwyn was dead.
Jack still didn't burn, even though she stabbed him, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had it with Jack.
Jack Barlow needs to fucking die.
Yeah.
You're not done with Jack, guys.
I want to be done with Jack so bad.
She killed him, but we never saw him die, so.
Right. Yeah, I'm also with you. I'm skeptical that any of them are dead.
I do like, though, that it seems that there's, like, competition between the sages to recruit powerful Venon and appease some Venon overlord. That makes it interesting. There's, like, tension within the ranks.
We don't know the leader. Yeah, we don't know the leader yet at all.
Yeah. I do like that we learn a little bit more about, like, the way Venon are organized. And I had, like, mixed feelings about the fact that they can wield. It felt like a little convenient that
also,
that was.
Also, how did you not know that until the third book?
That's what I was like. It's extremely weird to me that that would just be coming up now. Like, it was, I liked that they could wield, but I was like, I'm sorry. You can't just invent wielding for Venon, like, right now.
I liked the premise of, like, it's a balance. Yeah. Like, if the darkness has it, so does the light.
It's very
thing.
Star Wars.
But, like, why weren't they wielding in the first two books?
Yeah.
Were you just only battling, like, the little tiny ones or something?
The
like
sages or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's bizarre. And, like, why would the big bads not have been after Violet as soon as she started to wield? Like, it was just, I have a lot of questions. I think one of my biggest critiques of the way the book is organized is that I think this book created plot holes in book one. Like, things have changed and now book one makes less sense because the world is just different now. And like now that we know more about the way Venon work, I feel like a lot of the events of the first book kind of don't make sense.
Well, it definitely brings her mother into question of just like, if you knew all of this was happening, you knew Theophany and you knew the Venon, why weren't you doing more to alert people?
Yeah. Right. Like the also, plot.
I'm confused about the wards and the Venon because there were Venon living inside the war college and then like one girl wielded in combat practice, but supposedly the wards keep Zayden from wielding. I'm like,
dude, I could actually go on a rant about the fact that the wards make no sense. Like the rules that govern them, how they actually work.
Yeah, I'm like, so are they keeping the Venon out or not?
Are they are the Venon just not magical within the wards? Why?
But that one girl like sucked some earth in combat practice and got murdered. And I'm like, why? And they're, you know, they're keeping Jack locked away in a no magic room. So like, what is the purpose of the wards and how is it really keeping Zayden safe?
Is it keeping their whole country safe? It makes actually zero sense to me. The wards make no sense.
We didn't learn anything about them in this book.
Except that they can alter them with runes so that the flyers can do their thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, and why was there one rune specifically that kept Riders from wielding? I was like, that's bizarre.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions.
I think they're stupid. And I feel like they just change with the wind. Like,
yeah, they don't really help them keep the Venon away because they're Venon within their ranks.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Okay, anyway. So the ending of this book is like, whoa, like I thought the most epic scene in this book is when Violet sees Zayden's, you know, quote unquote onyx storm, this black wave of shadow coming, and she knows that he's just gonna go full Venon, right? Like they're losing and he's gonna save them, but he's gonna give up his own soul to do it. And you just
and
know
like, it become their greatest Violet enemy through it.
Yeah. Like she just knows that he's like lost now, like he's gone, and it's sort of devastating. And then we get to the end and they're actually married, and we learn that apparently Violet asks Imogen to wipe her memory of certain parts of what happens.
Yes.
So it's like, that is so interesting. I mean, I'm dying to have more information on that.
I loved it, and I loved Zayden's POV. People kept saying, I saw this on TikTok, like people were like, he'll turn for love, or like the Venon kept saying he'll turn for love. And in the end he did, but it was for Scale, not for Violet, because he could not
save
his
dragon's life.
So he did turn for love, but which was that scene between him and Scale. And there was like, there's a lot of questions from his POV scene.
Yeah.
I don't really know why we had Rhiannon and Imogen's point of views.
Agreed. I was like, why are we here?
Actually, I think I know why we have Imogen's POV. That's for our theory episode. But like, it really didn't add that much other than they randomly killed Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who I don't have any emotional attachment to at all.
No, I didn't either.
She's been there the whole time, but like, why are you randomly killing her now?
Yeah, she was a background character. I was like, I don't even know who this is.
She's been there since the first book, but
yeah, I wasn't like a fan of all of the alternating POVs. I like Zayden's POV because I think we needed some answers of that moment.
Yes.
And also hearing the I love you come in and be like, so there's a piece of his soul that's safe, kind of.
His tether,
His tether. And that's of course probably how in the future they bring him back, but that's just conjecture. But I do think it was interesting kind of to get Rhiannon's perspective, because she's like, I want to say Violet, but she's just one person. I've got to prioritize the group.
Should be.
Yes. Yeah. A real leader. I hated the other alternate POVs except for Zayden's. And I actually think that moment would have hit harder if we didn't do a merry-go-round first.
Yes.
Because then it's like, the one time we're going to break is for this.
No, I think
moment.
If we had just got Violet, and then the last, kind of like in the last book, just a little Zayden POV to like end it. It's like, oh.
Also, that POV raises a ton of questions about things that Zayden was hiding from Violet, about how much he knew and interacted with other Venon. Like, that scene makes it seem like he had been hiding shit from her.
I don't know about that, but
I think it does. Like, he's knows who this guy is. Like,
well, it's the guy he threw in the ravine.
Right. But I thought it seemed like there was a lot more going on there. And like,
it's the guy in his like, dreams. And I yeah. there. OK, there are a lot of conspiracy theories about who that
guys,
is. So we have to
segue.
Wait. Yeah.
We're going
to
wrap this episode up because we are bringing you another edition of our unhinged theories, questions, and book talk girly theories. So you can just tune in to our next episode, Onyx Storm Unhinged, where we will discuss some of these questions left at the end because this episode's already very long.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's really it. Please rate and review our podcast, 5 stars, XOXO. And yeah, follow us online. We'd love getting book recommendations from you guys. So if there's a book that you want us to review, let us know. You can do that at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. And also, you can see our full list of episodes and book recommendations at busygirlspod.com. Do you guys have book recommendations? Should we do that in this episode? I don't even feel like it. Yeah, I don't feel like doing it.
No.
Our recommendation is The Rest of Fourth Wing.
There are 2 more books, guys.
Yeah.
We've got another several years of this.
Yeah. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.